It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Oh, what's going on? Start OTAs, baby. Here we are. It is Go Birds number 75. Right here on radio.com, Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm John Barchard. That is James Seltzer.
That is James Seltzer. I'm not wearing a knee brace today, John.
No, looking fresh. Looks like you got a haircut, clean shaven, maybe even some sleep.
Not really clean shaven. Okay. I mean, kind of clean shaven.
Yeah.
I don't really ever do a clean shave. I just always have some sort of stubble, and then I let it grow out, and then I get lazy for a while, and then it gets annoying, and then I just like kind of shave it off, but never close shave.
We'll call it the John Haim?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, but let's roll with it.
John Hamm? You don't know John Hamm?
Oh, John Hamm. I think it's John Haim. I'm like, Corey Haim? Sleep? No. No sleep.
No sleep.
I don't do sleep, John.
No sleep. We won't sleep.
Phillies had to go to extra innings last night, so that was terrific.
But it was worth it because it was a win.
Thank God.
So that's fine. But
I would have been in a really bad mood. More importantly, the Carson Wentz revenge tour began today, John.
Holy shit, does he look healthy. Oh my
God. I'm so excited.
God.
He's going to win MVP this year. Get ready. MVP season.
If you missed it on Saturday during the radio show, we both just sat there and go, you know what it is? This has nothing to do with Carson's back. Carson's just waiting to get an extension, and that's pretty much it. And, you know, you have Ian Rappaport saying there's no limitations. Doug reconfirms that today. The first moment that you walk out on the field, he is there. He is chin-strapped. He is ready to rock and roll, and you're like, Carson Wentz is going to throw a lot of fucking touchdowns. Because, like, that's the only thing that's holding everybody up from being excited about Carson Wentz, right? Like, the back. Why isn't it healed? It's been healed.
No, I think there are multiple things holding people back. First and foremost is that there are still a lot of people out there who believe that Nick Foles is the guy, that Nick's their guy, and they're not ready to move on yet for some reason. And I think there are a lot of people who are just worried that Carson won't stay healthy. What we're here to do, John, is to tell all those people to relax, because
yes.
Carson, I feel so good about Carson Wentz this year, John. I think that the my biggest issue with last year, what we saw from him, obviously, I think the thing that we didn't talk about enough was the fact that it really felt like he just didn't have an offseason to work on anything but his knee.
Yeah.
This offseason, the man can focus on football again, John. The last time he did that, he was the MVP of the league for 12 games. I feel really good about where Carson's at. And look, like you said, I mean, the weapons around him are the best he's had yet in terms of diversity, in terms of talent. I really am expecting a monster season from Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it was surreal watching Carson Wentz throw to DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. It's
weird. Weird and great all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Good weird, but weird.
But it was really nice to see. I mean, like, there's some new wrinkles that are happening in the red zone. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was a
Arcega.
Part of it. Arcega?
It's Arcega.
It's Arcega. Yeah. People can nail me for that.
At least I've heard most people say Arcega, so I'm wrong with it.
Arcega sounds better, so yeah. we'll stick with that. But he was on Sidney Jones a lot. Sidney Jones, ESP. Why do you have to be in Ireland today? Because both guys that you're like, I don't know, look fantastic. Like, okay, let me get this out of the way. Everything I say, it is OTAs.
Yeah, I was just about to say it.
It is all of that. It is Doug Peterson yelling, okay, let the offense win this rep. Okay, let the defense win this rep. So remember all that when saying all these things. But, I mean, I look at JJ and I go, this makes so much sense in this offense. And people look at possession wide receivers and guys that are, you know, contested catchers, and we always automatically, at least my mind goes like, well, you're trying to sell me on Jordan Matthews, and it's just not the case with this guy. Like, he was in slot, like, he was comfortable, and that was important to me. Now, he's beaten up on guys with, you know, the number 39 as a corner and 45 as a corner and things like that, so I take that all into consideration when you know, looking at these things. But Sidney, to me, I mean, looks fully recovered from whatever he was dealing with, which is a good sign. And I know the next thing that you're saying is going, well, John, it's just a matter of time until he does it again. And fine, you want to think that way, you can. But Sidney Jones looked really, really good today. And that is a positive step for the brand. That's a positive step for
me. For the brand,
like, it was Sidney Jones looked really healthy.
I will go with the OTA part of it, where I think last year I remember doing this exact podcast talking about OTAs, and I believe you opened it by asking me something to the effect of, is there anything that you could take away from OTAs? And I said no. So for the most part, that is my general philosophy. But I do think, at least with guys who are injured, it is good to see guys out there and healthy and looking good. So I think that's a positive. I need more time to be as bullish on Sidney as you are. But just from the perspective of the team makeup, we feel so good about the cornerback situation, and none of it's because of Sidney Jones. So if they can actually get, if Sidney Jones can be anything close to the guy they drafted or believed they were going to get when they drafted him, look out, man.
Yeah.
Look out.
That was big. My other big impression from the day was, how about this? How about Clayton Thorson is 100% going to beat out Kessler for that
QB3
job? 100%.
You're making a big assumption from OTAs here. There's Clayton guy.
A gap in where I thought, looking at his tape, and you're going like, all right, I mean, it's just whatever, but Jesus, like, his
cuts a figure.
Footwork, he looks the part, all of that. You know, great face, his girlfriend's rich, means he's got confidence. All the stupid scouting crap that you hear a lot of time. But it's just...
Is he an alpha, John?
He's an alpha.
That's all I want. I want an alpha. Give me an alpha.
He was, again, showing off the calves, which I appreciate. Clayton's extremely light on his...
Did you go up to him and be like, yeah, those are some bullshit calves. I want to see calves. Look at these fuckers.
Clayton is extremely light on his feet in terms of just moving around in the pocket and, like, had a lot of good throws today. Every quarterback has a lot of good throws today, but noticeably so when he's throwing to, you know, second group of running backs and wide receivers and things like that. So and Cody Kessler's just tiny, man. Like, he looks like Seltzer playing quarterback.
Oh, that's bad.
He's tiny.
You do not want me out there playing quarterback. I'm 5'9".
Yeah, yeah.
Like, normal height guy, but not for a football player.
And I doubt he's 5'9", but, like, from 100 feet away, he looks like he's 5'9",
wow,
compared to everybody that's going through there. So I thought that was pretty glaring. Although, shout out to Fly 64. Carson Wentz did throw to Wendell Smallwood today.
Wendell Smallwood is making the team.
It was nearly, well, I don't know.
I'm telling you, Wendell Smallwood is making the team.
So can I tell you a little bit of the debate that was going on amongst the press is... Trey Boston, or no.
Boston Scott?
Boston Scott, because I have safeties on my mind. Boston Scott was like the murmuring of the favorite to be RB4. and Wendell Smallwood saying goodbye after that. But I
will take that bet. I will take that bet all day, every day.
Because Boston Scott, who is doing punt returns along with Donnell Pumphrey, hashtag comeback season.
Nope.
Was
you need to be there in the first place to have a comeback season, Jeff. Yeah.
The speed is evident in there, and between, like, you know, Blake Countess and
you love Boston Scott, huh?
I don't love Boston Scott.
You're in on Boston Scott.
I'm just telling you, everybody goes, you know, Boston Scott seems to be RB4. I think we can start penning him in and things of that nature.
I'm going
to
stick with Smallwood. My vote is for Smallwood. Yeah. It's my guess as to who makes the roster. Who knows? Maybe both of them make it.
Yeah. Maybe there is room for all four of them if they make it.
Well, if Clement's not ready to go, then it gets more interesting with that extra spot.
Miles Sanders today not suiting up, which I thought
was
weird.
That's interesting. That is a little strange. I mean, you know, was here for the rookie camp, so was out doing things there. I'm not worried yet or anything like that, but that is interesting. You would think he'd be out there.
Jordan Howard had two really big runs, but again, it was during the offense wins these reps. So it's kind of like
not a lot to roll with there.
Yeah. But I will say that just seeing Carson mix it in with all the new guys that were there, wasn't afraid to throw to somebody other than Zach Ertz during the team drills. It's a positive sign there. Again, like, he's already getting hand signals and things down with Deshaun in the first couple of days. All the things that you like to see kind of moving forward there. And again, the bigger story of who is not there, Lane Johnson not there today. Don't have any reasons why, other than it's OTAs and they don't matter. And the same...
Other vets, it seemed, weren't there.
Yeah.
Like Alshon, I believe, not
Alshon
there,
was
right?
Not there. Fletcher was not there.
Fletcher doesn't do OTAs.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think was playing right tackle in place of Lane Johnson as the first one up?
Just by the way you're asking the question, I'm going to guess Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, he was the second guy.
Andre Dillard? Was it Dillard on the right side?
It wasn't Andre Dillard. No. Andre Dillard did not once move from left tackle.
Oh, good, good. I really like that.
So Mailata did take snaps today a lot, actually, during team and individual drills.
I saw that Big V was at guard.
Yes, and didn't move from guard.
It's interesting. So, who else could it be out on the side? Matt Pryor?
Matt Pryor.
Get out of here.
All the right tackle snaps today.
Would not have guessed
something
that.
Something to keep an eye on moving forward. Yeah. I thought between that and Big V, like, clearly you go, all right, Big V can't play left tackle, but he could fill in and play right tackle. It's a swing tackle. It's what he does.
I mean, of course, Big V did play left tackle in the Super Bowl one, but you know, whatever. No, Big V, it's cool.
But they didn't move him from right
That's
guard.
That's really interesting.
And he was first up over Wisniewski, which was behind him.
Very interesting. Really?
Yes. So I go, okay.
I go,
Now, again, no, not everybody's there, you know, and Brandon Brooks is not there, and whatever.
yes,
and if you're going
correct.
Big V and Ike to start the season, I'm going to gulp a little bit. I would assume Wisniewski is going to be that right guard, but I don't know.
I hope Wisniewski is going to be that
but
right guard.
But doesn't Big V make sense at guard?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it makes complete sense to
I get
me.
It.
Like, oh,
I
yeah,
see
duh.
It. Yeah, I could see that.
I would rather that than him step up into right tackle. But also, that's good news for Matt Pryor, too. If he is, you know, I mean,
swing again, tackle guy.
If you're cross training over there and being able to play guard
totally.
Or right tackle, absolutely we'll take it kind of moving forward. Is there anything that you wanted to know from OTAs that was
I was
going to
start
mind?
Fasting, but I think what you were leading into there was the big name that is not there that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Of course.
And then, yes, I would like to interview you about a certain
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, somebody sounding like us said, I think it's a Malcolm Jenkins contract problem. And then 2 weeks later, everybody's like, hey, I guess it's a Malcolm contract problem. And we're like, we've arrived at the same point again. And, you know, Joe DeCamera made a good point when I called in the midday show. I don't know if this holds until, like, you know, the mandatory stuff when it hits into June. But, I think this gets resolved. I think it's pretty easy to get this thing resolved because he's just looking, I would assume, for guaranteed money with his contract that it's currently there now. It's not like he's asking for another 5 years or something like that. I'm assuming all these things, but this gets done, right? I mean, this is going to be an issue.
I think it has to get done. Like we talked about, if you want to go back and listen to the pod for deeper thoughts on it, but... we both agree you have to pay Malcolm Jenkins. This is a team that is trying to win the Super Bowl right now, and he is the most important, not the best, the most important player on your defense. So they have to sign him. I think they'll figure it out. But what I will say to the people out there, I mean, I think the predominant thing we see is, oh, it's just voluntary workouts. No, who cares? Stop talking about it. it's worth talking about. Yeah. All right. This is not just the Fletcher Cox thing where he wanted to go to the beach or whatever it is and just didn't want to come to OTAs, which, because he's Fletcher Cox, because he's awesome, those things are okay. They're voluntary workouts, whatever. This is very likely because he wants a contract. It is a different situation. So I think to just lump it in with the, oh, veterans don't have to show up, who cares type of thing, it's a different type of situation, just to be clear about that. But I do think, John, I'm with you. I think that come, what is it, June 11th, the mandatory time comes. Yep. I think it'll be settled. I think it'll be figured out. I don't think that Malcolm Jenkins isn't here come mandatories. Or if it comes to mandatories and there is no deal and he does decide to sit out, I think they figure it out pretty quickly regardless.
Yeah, and I would be, I mean, you need him for this season.
He has to be here.
So there's, it's not, and by the way, they didn't plan for any of this of like, hey, you've got to replace Malcolm Jenkins, or like, you know, you can forget about more. I mean, the very smallest of slivers of chances that they end up trading him or moving on from him.
I would even say zero. It'll get done.
Leave that open.
And you're right. Look, crazier shit has happened, but I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And I feel very confident they'll figure it out.
And this is the time to strike for Malcolm. And again, no disrespect to anybody that I'm about to mention, but Rodney McLeod is still not all the way back. You know, like, and who in the world would start in Malcolm Jenkins' shoes? Like, that hasn't happened. You haven't had to think about that for a very long time. And maybe you just, you know, a popular answer might be Avante Maddox. And then, sure, you have all these corners to go and deal with, and you might be losing your best corner.
Yeah.
Although I will say,
oh, don't say Sydney already. Stop. Stop.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm saying a funny thing happened today where they were in team drills, and Avante somehow, it was just a levels drill. So it was, you know, one guy that's two guy, a running back and a tight end running their routes, but it was Goddard versus some linebacker that's not going to be here, and Avante Maddox kind of in this bracket coverage, and Avante like got in great position, and somehow Dallas still fucking wrestled the ball away, and you just hear Avante Maddox laughing as he's going like past the sideline towards Novaker, going, "Dallas, you motherfucker!" Like, because that's just like, God, it's just, you forget how big Dallas is, and you know, and Avante's 5'9", so there's that happening there. But Avante looked good,
of course, he did
for the first day.
Best
back,
cornerback on the team. Why wouldn't he?
He would be. I love that guy. He should be.
I love that guy.
Outside of that, I mean, it was just.
Well, I wanted to ask you about Dallas Goedert, because it did seem like Goddard, of all the names that we, obviously there was a lot of Wentz stuff and how good Wentz looks, but the name that popped on social media, the name that you saw everybody talking about is, and again, shorts and shirts and all that, but the name was Dallas Goedert. Everyone was saying, yo, Dallas Goedert. Was that your impression?
Yes,
today?
He was sunning everybody. It didn't matter. It was just like, oh, 6'1" corner, bop, the linebacker, whoops, that's a, again, that was going back to last year when we were, she chomping at the bit. It was like, please, God, put a line, I dare you to put a fucking linebacker on Dallas Goedert, and then they would get paid for it. And every single time, it was just like, boom, boom, boom. I know that Doug talked about it in his, one of his, you know, or leading up to the draft press conferences. He got asked about it today about 12 personnel and if they're, you know, they're trying to, what's that word I'm looking for? Not mimic.
Integrate?
Any teams.
Oh, yeah, if they're trying
there.
To, yeah. Then she'll ask the question.
Yes, and
are there any teams that they're looking at to mimic works?
If they don't, I'm going to be fucking livid. I'm going to be livid. Like, you are wasting a great chance at some of the best duo tight ending since in Philadelphia.
Nailed
like, it's
it.
Just... It is
duo tight ending.
Yeah, write that down. Put that on a T-shirt.
I don't think I'm going to buy that T-shirt, right. John.
We'll just say we're 12 personnel now or something like that, because it's just, he's too good. Like, he's just too good of a he's too good of a tight end in general, but he's too good of a pass catcher to be sitting on the field somewhere. Like, I am really excited to see with pads on Dallas Goedert.
All
this
right,
year.
Back to the corners.
Yes.
You mentioned Sidney Jones looked really good. So many names there. Anyone else kind of, I know Jalen Mills not practicing.
I'm not assuming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone, Darby not practicing. Any of the other guys kind of jump out to you? The LeBlancs, the Rasul Douglas, kind of someone who seems like almost a forgotten guy now at this point after a really great second half of the season last year. Any of those guys jump out at all?
No, they didn't. Cravon had a couple of good plays early on some running backs just when they were doing kind of warm-up drills. And I tell you what, not non-corners, I feel like we say this every training camp since he's been involved in the team. Nelson Agholor looks really, really, really good. Like, I feel like each year he comes in here with even in better shape and, like, ready to do all this stuff. And now on top of that, and you can tell who is playing for contracts and who's not during the first day.
Yeah,
like,
buddy.
Vinny Curry came out there ready to kill somebody.
Nice.
Like, you know, like, yeah, I want to keep playing. I want to make sure I keep playing. And Chris Long retired. And he just fucking almost like, they this like, hey, Vinny, slow down.
Devastated about Chris Long, by the way.
Yeah. I we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, I think the Eagles have made it. We'll get into Chris Long in a second. Yeah. One, just you talking there and getting me thinking. I mean, I just started really thinking about what this offense could look like. The guys at Carson Wentz, the receiver crew of Alshon, Deshaun, Nelson Agholor, not even talking about JJ or anyone like that. Yeah. I mean, that's the best three he's ever had pretty handily.
Yeah.
Goddard and Ertz, and then a running back group of Howard and Sanders and who else? I mean, Johnny.
If this offense doesn't move, we got a lot of questions. I'm sitting there talking to Zach Gelb, and I go, like, if he doesn't throw 35 touchdowns, I'll be shocked.
I'm telling you.
If he doesn't throw 30.
MVP season coming.
Or at least 30. You know, like, you just keep looking at each individual.
33 in 12 games. Like, you know, I know. Come on, let's go.
And you just look at that opening set in your mind of running out 12 personnel to start, and then it's Alshon and Deshaun on the other side, and you go, here's a quick little RPO to Jordan Howard. Oopsie daisy, it's cover two. Oh no, the safety didn't come over. It's a touchdown for Deshaun Jackson. Like, that to me is going to happen at some point in the first game. Like, they're
so ready.
And just everything else is,
oh, I'm so ready, John. 15 Sundays. 15 Sundays, John.
I got really, really excited today.
15 Sundays. I'm so ready. It sounds like less than you would expect. 15 Sundays.
15 Sundays to go.
We can make it through 15 Sundays.
Yeah, first impressions are really good with this group. And honestly, I kept trying to look for Sharif. I tried to, you know, Andre Dillard, like I said, was taking some of the one reps with Wentz in there too, which I thought was great. Yeah, Miles Sanders was down. Clayton's the only other guy that's there. Yeah, so it wasn't really, I mean, you got a really good look at JJ. We mentioned that before. And outside of that, it's just same old, like, guys that, you know, I want the season to start. That's your first
buddy,
impression.
I'm ready. All right, let's talk Chris Long, because here's my take on it. I'm pretty annoyed, John. I'm really annoyed about it. I think that I don't understand why the Eagles wouldn't want to bring this guy back. Like, why you wouldn't just offer him a bigger role. He was really effective last year when he played in the role he had. We're not talking about someone who's asking to come in and play every snap. He's just asking for the role he had last year. And I know that part of that role came from injuries and all that. What's your take on this? Because I personally feel like the Eagles either miscalculated the situation or just handled it poorly.
I don't know if they handled it poorly or not. I mean, they did. They were up front with him, and Chris was up front with them. So I don't
understand why they wouldn't want to give him more snaps, especially for someone who's such an important part of the team from a locker room perspective, a person in the city, all that. And I get, look, I'm okay with saying if they truly believe, oh, he's done, like, he's too old, we don't want to bring him back. I guess that's fine. I didn't see that. I thought he was really good last year, and I thought he's someone you want to have here.
Yeah, I don't think he's done either, and I wouldn't be shocked if he kind of, I don't know.
I would. I think he's done. You never know. Look, you never know, right? I mean, we've seen guys who are away from the game, first month of the season happens, and they're like, shit, I made a bad decision. Yeah. I'm gonna come back. It happens, but
Patriots give him a call.
Yeah. You know,
they
you never know.
And Gronk, and like, hey, it's week eight. We need a little
help.
We
need you now. It's go time. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I personally feel like Chris Long made it very clear to everyone out there that if the Eagles were willing to just give him a roll, he'd be back, and he's not coming back. And personally, I feel like that's a mistake.
Well, yeah, I it led me to two things. One, like, and I think both things work here. One, they really do believe in the younger guys,
totally,
or the third year guys, and yes,
Barnett, Sweat, bringing Vinny Curry back. Those are their guys.
Yeah, and you're going to have Derek Barnett for two more years, including this one, until you've got to make another contract decision there. So you got to get that going. I understand. Josh Sweat, the same thing. Joel Osman, I guess. Vinny Curry's here to
way too much Joe Osmond love.
Plug that hole.
Jeez Louise.
Listen, the GM said it.
He was on the practice squad last year. Can we not get so carried away?
I think he ran by me too on the way to see her. Doug
see, just the fact you have to say, like, I think he ran by me shows who the hell Joe Osmond is. Nobody knows.
So I get it from that. I also, it really makes more sense to me that there is a bigger role yet to come in from the outside.
Right. That's the most reasonable explanation is like, oh, they're going to make a trade for a DN or something. Yeah.
And there was this thing going around where, like, you know, a DN4 doesn't really matter in Jim Schwartz's kind of system. And in terms of snaps, sure, it doesn't. But in terms of impact, like, there's a big difference between if I would rather have Vinny Curry or Chris Long in that role. And
totally.
Vinny Curry hasn't exactly had is coming off of a down year in Tampa, although, I don't know, he's the hashtag Free Vinny's been going on since 2013.
He came into the league, John.
But, you know, it's not exactly a spot where the Eagles skimp on either. Pass rushers, they have not, you know, and
I think told us how important they are.
The two things combined are baffling to me, actually. The fact that you do Long and Bennett at the same time is weird.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Like, you're fine to let Michael Bennett go at $5 million a year, which is, I know he said he wanted more money or whatever, but you're fine to let Michael Bennett go.
Yeah.
But you let Michael Bennett go, and then you let Chris Long go, then all of a sudden we're relying on Josh Sweat to actually play meaningful snaps. We're relying on, I like Derek Barnett. I thought he had a really nice rookie year. I was bullish about his future. He hasn't played a snap of football in a long time, and we don't know what he is. We don't know what he's going to be. I just feel like this was a short-sighted move by the Eagles. And look, again, if they trade for whoever, you know, I know Jerry Hughes was a name that was thrown around. He just re-upped with the Bills. Probably not Jerry Hughes.
Can I just say that was like the clowny dumbest thought on the
whatever
planet?
Whoever it is. The point is, if they trade for somebody, like, I'll feel better about it. But right now, I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I think it's because we have a lot less information, and that's a big part of it too. And if I bet once training camp and everything kind of gets settled in, hopefully they'll be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That's why, because, you know, Barnett looks ripped as hell, and he looks like it's Rocky III in the second fight.
Derek Barnett breakout season.
Yeah, it's just like king ching ching. I was like, oh, okay, that makes a ton of sense, but I still think that there's a move yet to be made, big or small. Like, it just between, even with Malcolm getting, you know, some extra bonus money in there, or a restructured contract and Carson signing, there's still money to go out and get a premier pass rusher, kind of, sort of, like that mid-tier guy that you can go out and trade for. So we'll have to go and wait and see just kind of what happens with that. But just for Chris Long in general, and I know I wrote this on Twitter, but I don't think that there's been another guy that's come in and out of here so quickly that has left such a large impact on me, the fan base, and everybody that kind of rooted. I mean, like, between him and Lane Johnson, those are your underdog masks. Like, that's their concept. That's where it came from after that Atlanta game, and that set everyone's hair on fire. And all the off the field stuff, and I know people kind of feel indifferent sometimes when some of the stuff that Chris Long supported didn't really align with their beliefs. But between Waterboys and Team Rubicon, and I don't know, donating in his entire
giving up
paycheck,
a year of salary, like, you know, whatever.
There's not a better person that I don't think I, you know, I mean, there probably is.
No, but never been easier to root for an Eagle than for Chris
Long. So easy.
That's really the way I look at it, is I've never felt better about rooting for a player to succeed as a person than I have for Chris Long on my team. And like you said, I mean, the dog mask, I mean, it's on the friggin' ring. I mean, that is something that will live forever. We'll all remember it. That was such a big part of the run. The sack that led, or the hit that led to the Patrick Robinson interception. I mean, there were so many big moments for Chris here. And then, like you said, I mean, just someone who is so likable, so interacts with fans on Twitter, all that type of stuff. I think he was just the perfect type of guy to come in here and make us fall in love with him, and he did exactly that.
Some quotes coming in from the locker room, because we're recording this just as this is happening, and Jeff McClain with Tim Jernigan on whether he's using the lack of action in free agency as a motivator. Simply put, you'll see in September.
All right. All right. Show me, brother.
Carson Wentz officially taking the podium at 2:35, about 35 minutes late from when they would say. So if he says anything interesting, we'll let you know in the next couple of episodes or something like that. But
Johnny's not going to say anything interesting.
Doubt he's going to say
anything. It's Carson Wentz. My man doesn't say interesting stuff in press conferences, which is good, but he doesn't. It is what it is.
The only thing that I'm looking to see through the timeline before we wrap things up is a question of something like, so Carson, do you want a new contract or something along those lines? Because
my guess is he won't answer that.
He's like, I mean, I'd love one.
It's going to be something to the effect of, I let my agent handle that stuff. Yeah. That is what he's going
to
say.
I'm trying to remember the last time that Carson Wentz said something at a podium that literally shocked anybody.
No, never. Never
or
has.
Or said like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Never. The answer is never. Never. Plain never. Jane. And that's okay. I'd rather have a plain Jane quarterback who doesn't say anything than someone who's up there just saying dumb shit all the time.
Yes, which he doesn't. So what do you want to see, I guess, in the next media? What's the next thing you want to hear from OTAs?
It's a great question.
To me, I need to see Miles Sanders on the field.
I would like to know how Matt Collins' 8-week groin injury has turned into like a year or whatever. That's a thing that is surprising to me.
Doug was a little bit like,
threw a little cold water on the Matt Collins
we're
thing.
Working him in there. Don't
Doug was like,
him.
I don't know what the fuck's wrong with this guy. I think it was what he was trying to say. Yeah. I don't think there's anything super specific that we're going to hear. We're not going to hear that Malcolm Jenkins just showed up or whatever. Contract stuff is the thing you're most interested in right now. But from a on the field at OTA perspective, honestly, John, and this is not just for you, I want to hear that Sidney Jones looks good. I that's someone who I, for the most part, have really not given up on, but have placed out of my mind as someone I feel like I can count on as a real future piece of the Eagles. And he was someone who, when he was drafted, I was incredibly excited about and believed in for the future. So I want to keep hearing good Sidney Jones stuff.
Yeah, and so do I.
Obviously, you do.
Here's one for you. Wentz says his knee is so strong that he doesn't feel like he needs to wear the brace
anymore.
Well,
that was apparent by the fact that he didn't wear the brace today. It's good news, though. That's what we want to hear, Carson.
And more of the same. I mean, like, just, I would like to see Nate Sudfeld, who got a lot of the reps just with the tight ends and running backs today solo. I would like to see a couple of deep balls from him, maybe in the next, team drills and things like that, and see where he is kind of really at and see his progression and things like that. And then we can all overreact to it, and then everybody can say, hey, it doesn't matter, it's OTAs, and James will be here to remind us all of that.
That is exactly, that's what I do, John. That's what I'm here for.
But we'll be around, at GoBirdsPod. And 5-star reviews.
Only.
You can say anything you want, and we'll read them. If you give us the 5-star reviews, we have noticed that there are a few. We're going to do those on the Thursday pods or the Friday pods, I guess, during the off season, and get those in and get those rolling. We will react and comment to them. You need to go pick up your daughter.
Always, John.
You should not be a bad father neglector.
Always. She's the best, man. She's super cute.
She is. She is super cute. I will, I don't know what I'm doing, but we'll be at OTAs.
I think you'll figure it out.
We'll be at OTAs.
You will be. Follow at John Barger on Twitter. A lot of great OTA content.
And there'll be highlights on the Facebook and the Instagram at GoBirdsPod if you missed anything that the Eagles or the 50 other beat reporters didn't tweet out. we will have it there for you as well. For James Seltzer, I'm John Barger. This has been the Go Birds Podcast right here on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go Birds!